Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to today's IBM teleconference. Can your existing mainframe developer toolset support applications that go beyond the traditional environment? Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn how the expanded capabilities of IBM's mainframe developer's toolset can help you deliver composite applications more quickly and with fewer errors. Our well-integrated solutions means you'll spend less time testing and debugging your applications using standalone tools. The speaker for today's teleconference is Michelle Cordes, WebSphere Worldwide Market Manager, Enterprise Platform Software. At this time, I'd like to hand it over to our speaker, Michelle Cordes. Michelle?
Thank you. And everybody, let me add my welcome to today's presentation. Many of you probably work in a typical mainframe IT environment, and you've probably seen more and more instances of web application developers needing to integrate with some of your business-critical mainframe applications. During the development phase, as well as the deployment phase, how do you determine whether there are any problems or issues that need to be investigated? Once a problem is identified, how do you determine whether it's a mainframe or a web issue? Can the tools you're currently using to perform these same functions in your traditional development environment actually help you in this new integrated web and traditional application environment? This is what we're here to talk about today. So let's go on to page 2. First, I'd like to run through the agenda. First thing we're going to do is make sure we're all using common terms and definitions. We'll start with some SOA basics. Then we'll move on to talk about some specific challenges and strategies for the SystemZ platform. Once we've laid this groundwork, we'll discuss some of IBM SystemZ application lifecycle offerings and their applicability to service-oriented architecture or SOA applications. Then we're going to wrap up and end with a live question and answer session. So let's begin on page 3. As Gartner says, SOA impacts every aspect of IT and business. It touches just about everything that a company does. So let's start with some basic definitions. So we're all talking about this in the same terms. What is it? Let's start with what is a service. It's a repeatable business task. Think about opening a new checking account at the bank. It's important to stress here that we're talking about a part of a business process, not thinking software or IT. You got to think about it in terms of what your company does on a day-to-day basis and break those business processes up into repeatable business tasks or components. If you look at the graphic in the middle of this page, this is our analogy of using building blocks. We snap building blocks together to build a structure. Services are the building blocks, and they're snapped together into a business process. So service-oriented architecture, or SOA, is just an IT architectural style that supports integrating your business as linked services. SOA makes it easy to snap together services into a business process, just like the snapping together of the business blocks into a structure. A composite application is a set of related and integrated services that support a business process built on an SOA. The application components can span different languages, platforms, operating systems, etc. Okay, let's move on now to chart 4. There are two different perspectives for thinking about SOA. The first one is the business perspective. From a business perspective, it's a sequence of activities that make up a business process, a workflow, if you will. From an IT perspective, it's a combination of web user interfaces, web and mainframe application components, etc. The power of SOA comes from the ability to reuse and integrate existing assets with new, as well as the flexibility that comes from isolating the business logic from the data and user interface code. I'm now on page 5. As corporations assess their current IT operations as part of their move to an SOA, they're faced with a significant challenge. How do they get there? Looking at the statistics on page 5, you'll see a couple of numbers that just kind of jump out at you. 200 billion lines of code in existence and 5 billion more being created every year. COBOL is not, repeat, not a dead language. There are anywhere from about 1.5 to 2 million COBOL developers as well. And if you look at that graph in the lower right-hand corner, you see that those numbers are decreasing slightly, but not drastically, and they couldn't, not with the amount of code that's out there. And the big stat, the really big stat, is replacing all of this code would cost in excess of $20 trillion, that's trillion with a T, U.S. dollars. There's just no way that mainframes and COBOL are going to go away. There's too much value in those billions of lines of COBOL code, and rewriting it is simply prohibitive. But despite the cost, should customers start over and rewrite? Probably not. If you think about why, these applications that are running the business today are the culmination of many years of work, and these business rules are still valid. The high cost and risk of rewriting all these applications, you know, isn't really a viable option. I mean, the time, the manpower, and the money, that's all going to be a barrier. And, you know, quite often with rewrite projects, it takes so long to do them that the business reason for them has gone away by the time the rewrite's complete. The statistics cited up above are made with respect to COBOL, but the applications we're talking about could cover a broad set. They could be Visual Basic, Power Builder, PL1, and a number of different types of applications. To build an SOA, you have to look at what you already have, and this includes your people, your applications, your business processes, etc., and use these existing resources to streamline your business processes, cut development time, and ensure consistency through the organization, save money. Based on open standards, IBM's offerings can help allow a company to extend the value of their existing software by service enabling it and then reusing the business value that comes from that service again and again. Companies can enhance their flexibility by reducing the duplication of function by creating services to be shared across the enterprise, and leveraging your proven core applications and functions through this service enablement, whether it's through wrapping or other methods. In fact, a study by Software Productivity Research some time ago found out that it's 5 times less expensive to reuse existing services and applications than to rewrite them. And that's a pretty significant number, 5 times. Let's move on to chart 6, and we're going to talk about application architecture now. Typically, CICS customers or users have created programs with 2 basic types of interfaces, 3270 terminal-driven programs and COM area programs. A CICS terminal-driven program is depicted as a P in the red box on this chart. And these applications were designed to be invoked directly from a 3270 display station. The invocation usually corresponded to a single transaction in an end-user dialog that started with the receipt of a message from the terminal and ends with the transmission of a response message to the same device. More than likely, these terminal-driven applications were created using CICS Basic Mapping Support, or BMS. BMS simplifies the application programming for the terminals, such as the 3270 display, by enabling the programmer to define the static portions of the screen and the dynamic fields to display or accept input. A CICS COM area, or CICS Communications Area program, is shown in the green boxes on this chart. COM area programs are passed a request and send a response via an area of memory called the communications area, or COM area. The format of the data is typically language-specific, most notably COBOL record structures. In general, CICS COM area programs are similar to subroutines in that they don't really know who invoked them or who called them, and they automatically inherit a transactional and security context managed by CICS. And these programs usually are focused on integration logic, business logic, and data access. The best practice in CICS application design for a number of years has been to separate key areas of responsibility into distinct programs with clearly defined interfaces. In particular, the 3270 presentation logic, integration logic, business logic, and data access. This application pattern or framework enables a high degree of reuse of programs within a larger application, plus reuse with alternative implementations of presentation logic like a web browser or a Java client. It also allows each program to be developed and optimized individually for the best return on investment. The good news is that you'll find some or many of your applications have already been written this way. However, and there's always a however, those programs that were not written to this pattern typically have intermixed these responsibilities into the worst case, being a single program that only has a 3270 terminal-driven interface. Now I want you to think for just a second and think about how many of your applications fit this last description. I'd venture to say a lot. Let's move on to chart 7 and look at the components of a sample composite application. We have here a stock trading application which has data and application components on both a web application server and a mainframe. We begin our stock trading application with a user interface driven by a web application component. When the user requests that a certain stock be purchased, the web application uses data on the local server to generate the quote, and if all is okay, the user accepts the quote, and the web application invokes a mainframe component, which verifies the customer information and sends back the stock purchase confirmation back to the web application, which then in turn presents it to the user. Keep in mind that this is a really, really simple example of what components could make up one of your composite applications. In reality, they are much more complex. The diagram on page 8 shows how the different containers and components allow the functionality of an application to be divided into different tiers or layers. Software like WebSphere Application Server is often described as application integration middleware because it provides a range of services which allow the components in the middle of this diagram to integrate the front end, that being the user interface, with the back end resources which are available within the enterprise, quite often on a mainframe. Keep this sort of architecture in mind when we talk about composite applications. In reality, the middle tier, the web application server, could also be running in its own mainframe partition. I'm now on chart 9. As we discussed earlier, in the past, CICS programs were implemented in many cases with common patterns. And as I said, in the case of traditional CICS, a common pattern tied a screen to a program. The program was written to both initially read data and send a screen for user interaction. It would then receive the screen, validate the information, and eventually execute one or more business processes. Web applications aren't really that different. It's not a different architecture. It's a little bit of a different implementation. HTML performs similar processing as BMS or MFS maps. It defines the screens and fields, the colors, and the interactions. Java server faces provide a framework to build user interface-oriented forms linked with processes such as web services. JSF performs similar functions as programs which perform the send and receive processing and input validation. Java server faces consist of Java server pages which handle the build and caching of forms and user information, and page handlers which validate information and provide control calls back into back-end services. Communication areas and state are managed in web applications by session beans, and Java beans, or Java programs, combined with enterprise Java beans, provide the discrete business services or processes and perform similar functions as CICS linked or called business programs. And finally, connectivity can be provided through a web service or JCA invocation, similar to calls into back-end business processes. Okay, now that we've covered the basics, let's move on to some of the challenges that are unique to the SystemZ platform. So let's go on to chart 11. According to the Giga Group, anywhere between 60 to about 80% of IT investment is in maintenance, and much of that is investment in green screen, non-SOA-oriented applications. As you probably expect, this development is largely done with green screen-based development tools as well. These SystemZ developers, the ones that are maintaining these applications, these are the ones that understand the business applications, and they're very highly valued. Another Gartner analyst report recently rated business skills very high in the evaluation of overall developer value to a corporation. And the goal will be to modify and enable this investment as part of an SOA application development process. So let's move on to page 12. Believe it or not, the picture on the right is our goal. You know, an environment where everything is integrated and shared and coordinated from a process or business perspective. As applications move to a service-oriented model and composite application model, focusing on reuse and integration, the technical complexity of a particular business process increases. Said differently, SOAs are considerably more complex than traditional architecture. We have web processing, interacting with customers, green screen processing, interacting with our back office personnel, and finally, batch processing that ultimately coordinates and synchronizes our overall workflow. Business processes flow across various systems and distributed technologies and are shared as services and as service-oriented architectures. Development needs to both understand and support these business processes regardless of technical considerations such as platform or language or skill sets. Let's move on to chart 13, where we'll discuss organization and technological challenges. In today's development model, it's quite likely that the web developers are in different organizations using different tools and processes than the traditional developers. A simple example of the different technologies, source code management systems. Source code management systems for web and distributed applications typically operate in distributed environments driven through PC or workstation-based interfaces. As you would expect, source code management systems in the System Z traditional environment operate in these System Z environments, typically driven from within the ISPS development environment. So for a developer to follow a business process, they need not only the technical understanding of the platforms the business process flow from and to, they also need the knowledge and access to various SEMs and development tools that support that distributed process. And probably most importantly today, they first need to break down the organizational boundaries to gain that access. This stovepipe view of development is changing, and if we expect reuse and standardization to gain returns on investment for us, developers have to be enabled with the access and understanding of all the business processes and processing in an organization. The technology involved in implementing a composite application is more complex. The application design and implementation is very different from traditional applications, and there are new programming interfaces and new standards and new tools and so forth to learn and master. The skills mismatch and the learning curve to master the composite application development environment can be a huge hurdle to timely and on-budget delivery. Now, on chart 14, I am starting with some strategies. The first one, to improve application quality, we have to first identify and resolve our problems earlier in the application lifecycle. The sooner we can detect and diagnose problems, the easier and cheaper they are to fix. On chart 15, I've got a second strategy. Once a composite application is deployed across multiple runtimes, problems can still occur. Despite our previous development testing efforts, we have to be able to identify not only the problem, like a performance problem, but also where is it occurring? And we not only have to identify it quickly, but fix it quickly as well. And the third software development strategy is to manage change in assets. Software configuration management, or SCM, is a key capability in the software development practice. It allows teams to carefully trace the requirements over a project life cycle, during which quite a few different changes can occur, including changes to the requirements quite often. Managing change in assets gives organizations power. It empowers them to enable virtual teams and parallel development. What do I mean by this? Advanced SCM systems allow multiple, sometimes overlapping, branches of a project to be worked on by different development teams simultaneously. More work can be accomplished faster, on demand, without sacrificing quality. This gives organizations the flexibility to put select projects on the fast track to meet evolving business needs. It also empowers organizations to protect critical assets. A company's software development assets, the requirements document, the design model, source code, all that stuff are unique strategic resources that cannot be purchased or recreated from outside sources. These software development artifacts must be managed and protected by making sure that no unit of code or component under development is ever lost or overwritten. Software configuration management systems protect and preserve the software assets that create strategic advantage. And the managing change in assets also empowers organizations to deploy with confidence. Change in asset management ensures that teams who are building and maintaining these very complex systems remain in sync as they combine the multiple versions and various pieces of software code. Change management systems also allow all requirements to be traced throughout the project lifecycle so that the high-level architecture translates to a software system that meets the organization's quality, reliability, and scalability requirements. Okay, I'm now on chart 17. Now that we've identified the challenges and strategies, let's see how IBM's problem determination tools can help us meet these challenges. On chart 18, you see a layout of the System Z application lifecycle, starting with modeling business processes and working around counterclockwise in the lifecycle to monitoring those processes. In between, we have all those phases that make up the SOA application lifecycle: model, assemble and develop, deploy and manage. You'll also see that I've identified some of the IBM tools that fall into these categories. If you go to chart 19, you'll see that I've highlighted the manage data, debug, deploy, test, and monitor application phases. I've done that because these are the areas I'm going to focus on for the remainder of the presentation. Let's start on chart 20, talking about File Manager. File Manager offers a comprehensive, user-friendly tools for working with ZOS data sets or IMS data or DB2 data or CICS files. It extends the standard edit, browse, copy, and print utilities of ISPF, but maintains the familiar ISPF look and feel. With a single product, you can work with VSAM data, or PDSs, DB2 tables, or IMS databases. New in the most recent version, version 7.1, which was announced in September, you can also manage data in CICS VSAM file resources, transient data queues, and temporary storage queues. File Manager is designed to help you increase the productivity of your developers as they build and test new and existing applications. Okay, now I'm on chart 21. As I mentioned, we announced File Manager version 7.1 on September 12th. It included several enhancements in support of SOA application development. Data that's tagged with XML in one application can be understood in another. These XML tags permit the data sharing across different applications and platforms. File Manager allows you to quickly and conveniently generate XML from host data records that have COBOL or PL1 record layout descriptions. You can do the same thing in COBOL or PL1, but it does require some programming effort to do so. The XML format allows a more flexible exchange of information, not in the internal formats meaningful only to the mainframe, but in a format that can be read by other mainframe tools, like COBOL and PL1 again, as well as the workstation and non-mainframe servers. A file manager template that describes the data record layouts is required. The XML tags are generated based on the field names in the template, and the XML content comes from the data itself. In addition to this XML generation, File Manager 7.1 includes the initial integration with WebSphere Developer for Z-Series. This code will be available with the next release of WDZ later this year. I'll talk a little bit more about WDZ, or WebSphere Developer for Z-Series, shortly. I'm now on chart 22. File Manager is a host data management tool that includes support for all of the key IBM file systems, including DB2, IMS, or CICS, and it's designed to provide high levels of user flexibility for developers with a single management tool. It manipulates development, test, and production data across multiple file formats and storage media, and includes extensive edit, browse, print, data creation, and copy functions. The result? Your developer's productivity is increased. Let's go to chart 23. File export provides a highly selective data copying capability that can significantly simplify your ability to resolve the complex problems that you run into when you're trying to populate your test environments or upgrading applications to new or other environments. File export enables you to export sets of existing data from similar sources. It allows you to extract DB2, VSAM, IMS, or sequential data from one or more sources, and it helps you to create one or more targets for production or quality assurance, test, or for development or testing activities. File export also allows you to protect sensitive data in the test environment by scrambling specified field values during the export and load process for increased data security. I'm on chart 24 now. As I said, file export allows you to extract related sets of data from similar sources, optionally transforming the data and load complete sets of related data into target environments. It was designed for speed, and this is accomplished by using virtual memory to complete tasks more quickly. Key values and related sets of extracted data are cached, reducing the amount of input and output required. Because file export allows you to share user-defined relationships and extract JCL, developer productivity is enhanced due to the reduced amount of time it takes to actually extract related sets of data. File export version 1.2, which was announced in September also of this year, now includes the same interface techniques used in other related IBM products to give a more intuitive user interface. The resulting enhancements make the tool easier to learn and use. And as I mentioned, it does provide you with additional security by protecting sensitive data on a field-by-field basis. If you'll go to chart 25, I'll talk a little bit about debug tool utilities and advanced functions. Debug tool utilities and advanced functions provides a source code level debugging tool for multiple languages and multiple environments. This includes COBOL, C, C++, PL1, Assembler. And the environments supported include CICS, TSO, Batch, IMS, and this includes IMSTM, DB2, including stored procedures. You can use it to interactively debug an application while it runs, and you can actually step through the source statements, set breakpoints, and run, monitor, and change your program variables as it executes. It also helps you modernize your older COBOL programs by helping you identify OSCS COBOL and VS2 COBOL modules and converting them to Enterprise COBOL. An intuitive GUI interface is available with products such as WebSphere Developer for Z-Series and WebSphere Developer Debugger for Z-Series. Now, if you'll go to page 26, I'll give you a little introduction to WebSphere Developer for Z-Series and WebSphere Developer Debugger for Z-Series. WebSphere Developer for Z-Series is an interactive workstation-based environment that provides you with both traditional and web development within one workstation-based tool. You can create COBOL applications, make that COBOL application a web service, and create a web interface all within a single tool. It provides language-sensitive editors for COBOL, PL1, Assembler, JCL, and it also provides BMS map development tools. You can also edit, compile, and debug on the workstation. WebSphere Developer Debugger for Z-Series provides a subset of the WebSphere Developer for Z-Series functions, in particular the GUI interface to debug tool utilities and advanced functions for improving the mainframe developer's productivity while he's debugging his COBOL, PL1, C, C++ mainframe applications. As I mentioned on chart 26, I'm now on chart 27, WDZ, or WebSphere Developer for Z-Series, could be used to create a COBOL application, create the appropriate coding to make it a web service, and create a web interface for it. Not only can a single tool, WDZ, or WebSphere Developer for Z-Series, create all this, it can debug it too. the same debug interface is used for both web and mainframe component debugging. Here on chart 27, I'm showing the debugging of the web interface and web service code on the left screen and the debugging of the COBOL CICS code on the right. Debug tool utilities and advanced functions is invoked when this code is executed, and WebSphere Developer for Z-Series works in conjunction with it to debug that portion of our composite application. If you'll go on to chart 28, in summary, debug tool utilities and advanced functions provide a couple of key benefits for working with composite applications. One is the use of an integrated debugging environment when it's used in conjunction with WebSphere Developer for Z-Series. The ability to automate the process of converting old OSCS COBOL and VS COBOL 2 applications to Enterprise COBOL is a second one. And this can be done during routine application maintenance. And the reason I say it's in support of our composite or SOA applications is because if you're migrating to DB2 version 8 or CICS transaction server version 3.1, like it's the web services support in CICS 3.1, you have to migrate to Enterprise COBOL because the old COBOL code is no longer supported in these environments. I'm now on chart 29. Fault Analyzer provides a single fault analysis product for all environments. It provides automatic real-time capture of diagnostic information and automatic analysis and reporting of application add-ins. Fault Analyzer can help you pinpoint an add-in down to the program and source statement that caused the problem. It also provides an interactive point-and-shoot navigation of the add-in information, allowing you to quickly navigate to the information you need, even in a large, complex application. Support is provided for COBOL, C, C++, PL1, Assembler, and multiple environments, including CICS, IMS, DB2, Unix System Services, and MQ Series. You can use it to understand why an application abandoned, and not only that, but it can help you get the information you need to diagnose and fix the problem. I'm now on chart 30. In the most recent September 2006 announcement, Fault Analyzer version 7.1 included an enhancement that formats the CICS Web Services data areas. The CICS Web Services first came out with CICS version 3.1 about a year and a half ago. And this was done in Fault Analyzer to make it easier for the CICS Web Services programmer to interpret these data areas when he's trying to do some fault analysis. Fault Analyzer 7.1 also supports the latest levels of Java and WebSphere so that you can use Fault Analyzer to interactively analyze and view information specific to WebSphere or Java. Fault Analyzer also provides integration with WebSphere Developer for Z-Series, too. I'm on chart 31 now. Fault Analyzer assists the developer in analyzing and fixing application and system failures. It offers the programmer the information required to help determine not just the cause of the failure, but it provides assistance on how to resolve the problem. Fault Analyzer expands application coverage and related business value beyond the traditional applications with integrated support for WebSphere Application Server for ZOS and Java, as well as CICS Web Services support. Now users can leverage one tool to assist in composite application add-end analysis. Now let's move on to chart 32 to discuss Application Performance Analyzer. APA, or Application Performance Analyzer, monitors specific workloads or applications while they are running. So based on whatever sampling rate we might define, key application performance information is collected and stored in observation files. These files can be viewed online in ISPF or printed from ZOS, or you could view a PDF file that's created and view it on the workstation. We use APA to pinpoint the cause of bad application performance right down to the line of source code that's causing the issue. APA has an intuitive online ISPF interface and allows developers to monitor applications at the source level. It has support for batch, CICS, DB2, IMS, and MQ applications. It also includes support for determining performance issues in DB2 stored procedures that are written in Java. I'm on chart 33. APA is a non-intrusive performance analyzer for ZOS applications to help developers improve the response time of online applications or improve batch turnaround time, identify excessive I.O. and CPU usage, or identify performance problems in new or existing applications that may have been modified, as well as to test the effects of increasing a given workload. On chart 34, I wanted to just briefly mention several other monitoring tools. Workload Simulator is an automated performance and testing tool. You can use it to automatically simulate online users on your system, perform regression testing of online applications, as well as load and performance testing. You know, the kind of things where you say, what's going to happen when 10,000 users hit the enter key at the same time? It actually captures test scripts from a live session to do some of this testing. Rational Performance Tester and Function Tester provide additional testing capabilities by supporting applications that extend beyond the traditional mainframes with their support of workstation-based applications or web applications. ITCAM, or IBM Tivoli Composite Application Manager for SOA and CICS Web Services, helps reduce support costs in determining the cause of application downtime or slowdown. It provides comprehensive performance metrics and diagnostics across things like WebSphere, Portal, J2EE, CICS, and IMS applications to help enable you to quickly resolve performance problems. I'm now on chart 35. Now that we've addressed those specific life cycle phases, what I'd like to do is talk now about managing the entire development process. And this goes back to our strategy with regard to managing change and assets. The management of the application development process is made more difficult when development takes place on multiple platforms, as you might expect. Before I introduce SCLM Advanced Edition, let me ask you, did you know that you already have the product that SCLM Advanced Edition is built upon? Software Configuration and Library Manager, or SCLM, is part of ISPF, which I'd be willing to wager you're all familiar with. SCLM is really two products, a Library Manager and a Configuration Manager. As a Library Manager, SCLM manages change to your application data. It performs auditing and versioning and controls the movement of your application from one set of staging libraries to the next, i.e. from test to development. As a Configuration Manager, SCLM knows how all of the pieces of your application fit together. In SCLM, this is not limited to just standard source, object, and load modules. You can specify additional relationships in SCLM to associate your other data, such as things like publications or JCL, with the application. The SCLM build function translates your inputs into outputs. In SCLM, again, this isn't limited to just compiling source code and linking object modules. You can use build to drive most any procedure that translates an input into an output. On a promote, SCLM ensures that all of your inputs and outputs are in sync. You don't have to worry anymore about one of your production load modules not matching the source in your production source library. SCLM has built-in support for change code processing, including the ability to associate a change code with a member and then build, promote, and report based on these change codes. SCLM Advanced Edition adds several functions to this base product. Let's move on to chart 36 to see a little bit more information about the component products of SCLM AE or SCLM Advanced Edition. The SCLM Administrator Toolkit provides an easy-to-use GUI or actually even an ISPF interface that can help ease administrative tasks. The Enhanced Access Control provides additional granular security controls. The SCLM Developer Toolkit extends your source code management to developers using Eclipse IDEs, or development environments. Breeze for SCLM provides SCLM package approval processing via email. And the Merge tool is an easy-to-use tool for the simplification of merging of different source code together. On chart 37, I just wanted to show you the Eclipse interface for the Developer Toolkit, with both the distributed and mainframe components managed by a single tool. Deployment is considerably easier than when they're not. I'm now on chart 38. With SALM Advanced Edition, you can improve the productivity, quality, and predictability of your entire application development process. Now I'd like you to go all the way to chart 40. I'm just skipping an agenda chart. And what I have here is an example of a customer who has successfully migrated to IBM's problem determination tools. Zurich Financial Services is a multi-billion dollar insurance and financial services company. They used a number of tools from different software vendors in their IBM ZOS environment. And this was for testing their mainframe applications that were written in COBOL, PL1, C, C++, and Assembler. Because the company employed such a variety of tools across its geographically separated offices, their personnel possessed very specialized skills for each of these platforms. For Zurich to operate as an efficient and integrated organization, they needed to replace their legacy development tools with a single platform suite of modern tools that were less expensive to license and maintain. They needed to deploy a new flexible platform that would allow their developers across Switzerland, Germany, and the UK to use the same tools. With this new environment, Zurich really hoped to remove the need for these specialized skills within the development environment, allowing the IT staff to operate in a more cohesive and productive manner. IBM and Zurich together replaced their six legacy development tools with three IBM products that would integrate their application development efforts while reducing the development cycles and saving money. Essentially, the tools they got were the file manager tool I mentioned earlier, fault analyzer, and the debug tool utilities and advanced function. This solution, which actually took 3 months to deploy, allowed Zurich to interactively test and debug their COBOL and PL1 applications on a common platform and using just one skill set. Because they now only need one skill set to operate all of the deployed IBM tools, the Zurich developers are considerably more productive. They also reduce their expenditures, as now they only have to license and maintain three tools instead of six. And actually, because tools like Debug Tool and Fault Analyzer share common side files, they've actually saved some virtual storage space as well. Let's go on to chart 41. Software Strategies recently released a white paper where IBM's problem determination tools were compared to those of several other vendors. As you can see by the headline on the right, IBM came out on top. If you'd like to see the full report, I've included the URL where you can get the full report. If you would like more details about any of the products I mentioned today, you can go to ibm.com/software and navigate to any one of our products. Or if you just want details about the IBM PD tools, I've included a URL where you can get specifically to them. In summary, IBM has a wide array of application lifecycle tools that can help you to lower your total cost of composite application development, testing, and deployment. I hope you found today's presentation interesting and maybe even learned a thing or two. Now I'd like to turn it back over to the operator for our question and answer session.
Thank you, Michelle. Now I would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Question 1, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. And we'll pause for just one moment. Question 2, what was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. And once again, we'll pause. Question 3, are you responsible for mainframe ZOS application development, maintenance, or deployment? If you are, press star 1. If you aren't, press star 2. Once again, we'll pause. Question 4, what are the primary types of mainframe applications that you maintain and create that you believe could benefit from IBM's problem determination tools? please select the most appropriate description. If it is batch applications, press star 1. If it is online CICS or IMS transactions written in COBOL or PL1, press star 2. If it is CICS web service applications, press star 3. If it is DB2 applications, press star 4. If it is WebSphere for System Z applications, press star 5. Once again, we'll pause. Question 5. Do you have mixed workload or composite applications that leverage mainframe applications? These are applications that are web-based that depend on back-end mainframe data or applications. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And we'll pause one last time before our final question. In our final question today, we hope that you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to take your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. And at this time, I'll turn the conference over to Michelle while we wait for questions.
Thanks, Sarah. And just if you guys are too shy to ask a question, you have my email address on the front page of the presentation. Feel free to drop me a line, and if I can't answer the question, I'm sure I know the people who can. So don't hesitate.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, star 1, please. And we do have a question from Jackie Collins.
Yes, and I was interested in your program that helped to migrate data to test and scramble the values.
File export, yes, ma'am.
File export. Does it help, is there a way that you can say, okay, this is account number, this is account number, and this is account number, although it might be in different formats, so that when it scrambled it, it would come up with the same results from all of the different sources?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer, Jackie. Let me just make sure I understand. I've got a DB2 file with an account number in it. I've got a VSAM file with a record with that same account number, and a sequential file with that same account number.
Yes.
And I want to mask it. Let's call it a social security number instead of an account number.
All right.
And I want to mask it so that when I bring all that data together into one DB2 table, shall we say, I want to make sure that the right records all get pulled together to make up that one DB2 row.
Or if I just bring them all over to my test system as VSAM files in flat files or whatever, that I bring them all over and I know that they all will match so that I can still test and everything will coordinate the same way.
Can you write me an email? I've got my email address. Would you mind dropping me a line?
All right.
I want to verify before I answer that. I think the answer is yes, but I want to clarify one question in my head before I say that.
All right.
Okay? Thanks, Jackie.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, star 1, please. And Michelle, there are no further questions at this time.
Okay, terrific. Thanks a lot, Sarah. And once again, guys, if y'all have any questions, just drop me a line. I'd be happy to get an answer for you. Thanks a lot for attending today. I hope y'all learned something. Have a good one.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference today. We thank you for your participation. Have a great day.